particular song in our red book here, and it's a song that I really enjoy. It's "I Love to Tell the Story," and there's two verses there at the end of it. It says, "I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat, and what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet." And then the last verse says, "I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest." And, you know, it's enjoyable to me to have opportunity to share the word of the Lord, to visit with people about the way the Lord desires to work with them and bless them. And it's enjoyable to me to come here to have an opportunity to hear the Lord's word spoken to us, and recognizing that we have a God who sees us and knows us. And so I hope that tonight you come because you love to hear the word and that you're hungering and thirsting for it. And so I think I've probably had opportunity over the past several years to introduce Jerry tons of times. Seems like I'm like his regular. And so I'm not going to say anything more than I have in the past. I'd introduce tonight our preacher, Elder Jerry Case.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. I ask an interest in your prayers tonight as I come before you. I had a lot on my mind and a lot going on. And plus, I got a scratchy throat, and so I'm wondering if I'm going to keep my voice. So say a little prayer for me. As I think about the sermon tonight, my first thought would have been to, thank you, Jeremiah, to describe it as about a humility versus pride. But it's actually a deeper subject than that. It's more about like the pure love of God versus idolatry. And I didn't take down the first words, humility versus pride. I leave those there, but I want you to start thinking about it in relation to the pure love of God versus idolatry. I want to start, I got a lot of scriptures tonight, so I'm going to try to go kind of speedily. If you want to, write them down so you can review them later. I'm going to start in Alma, the third chapter. I appreciated the sermon this morning. I find very often that the topic isn't necessarily the same, but they're intertwined. The sermons kind of mix and mingle with each other. So chapter 3 of Alma, and I'm going to start reading with verse 27. I'm going to read through to verse 50. This is on the bottom of page 314 that I'm going to start. "And now behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God, to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed? For behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Or do ye imagine to yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, that he will save you? Or otherwise, can you imagine yourselves brought before the tribunal of God with your souls filled with guilt?" Thank you, Aiden. "With your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having a remembrance of all your guilt, yea, a perfect remembrance of all your wickedness, yea, a remembrance that ye have set at defiance the commandments of God. I say unto you, can you look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? Actually, I recall in a sermon earlier today, it was on phone church, one of the things he really talked about was what sin is. That sin is warfare against God. It's the destroyer of your relationship with Him. Sin is the block that comes between you and Him. I say unto you, can you look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? I say unto you, can you look up having the image of God engraven upon your countenances? I say unto you, can ye think of being saved when ye have yielded yourself to become subjects to the devil? I say unto you, ye will know at that day that ye cannot be saved, for there can no man be saved except his garments are washed white. Yea, his garments must be purified until they are cleansed from all stain through the blood of him whom it hath been spoken by your fathers, who should come to redeem his people from their sins. And now I ask you, my brethren, how will any of you feel if you shall stand before God, before the bar of God, having your garments stained with blood and all manner of filthiness? Behold, what will these things testify against you? Behold, will they not testify that ye are murderers? Yea, and also that ye are guilty of all manner of wickedness. Behold, my brethren, do ye suppose that such an one can have a place to sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob and also all the holy prophets whose garments are cleansed and are spotless, pure and white? I say unto you, nay, except ye make our Creator a liar from the beginning, or suppose that he is a liar from the beginning. Ye cannot suppose that such a one can have a place in the kingdom of heaven, but they shall be cast out, for they are the children of the kingdom of the devil. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change in your heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can ye feel so now? Have ye walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could ye say, if ye were called to die at this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not, ye are not prepared to meet God. I want to turn over to Jacob now. Jacob, the second chapter. And in here, I want to read the 11th through the 21st verse. Starting with the 11th verse on page 170. But notwithstanding the greatness of the task, I must do according to the strict commands of God and tell you concerning the wickedness and abominations in the presence of the pure in heart and the broken heart and under the glance of the piercing eye of the Almighty God. Wherefore, I must tell you the truth according to the plainness of the word of God. For behold, as I inquired of the Lord, thus came the word unto me, saying, Jacob, get thou up into the temple on the morrow, and declare the word which I shall give unto thee, unto this people. And now behold, my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, that many of you have begun to search for gold and for silver and for all manner of precious ores, in the which this land, which is a land of promise unto you, and to your seed, doth abound most plentifully. And the hand of providence hath smiled upon you more pleasantly, that ye have obtained many riches. And because that some of you have obtained more abundantly than that of your brethren, ye are lifted up in the pride of your hearts, and wear stiff necks and high heads because of the costliness of your apparel, and persecute your brethren because ye suppose that ye are better than they. You know, pride is a word that we use a lot. And sometimes I'm not sure we use it poorly. I think sometimes there's a very appropriate good meaning for it. Sometimes when I think of my own children, I wonder how God has blessed them, and I wonder I just am proud of them. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't think that means that I feel like I'm better than somebody else. But when I talk about pride tonight, what I'm really going to be talking about is this. The pride I just read about, where it says that they began to suppose that they were better than their brethren. You know, I myself, I don't see myself as a prideful person. A few months ago, I was walking downtown, and I had been called to jury duty. And so I was walking around downtown, lost. There's several different court locations down there, and so I, you know, got on my bus from the wrong parking lot and went to the wrong court, and they told me I was in the wrong place, and so I had to go walk and go somewhere else. And while I was walking to where they had told me to go, there was a man, and he was sitting down on the sidewalk, and he had a little jar in front of him, and he had a little sign, and it said something like, "Anything can help. God bless you." And so in my mind, I'm thinking, what can I afford to give, what I have in my pocket? And so I'm kind of walking with my hands in my pockets and searching. And very speedily, I was right by him on down the sidewalk. But something happened just as I got to him. There was a young man, a lot younger than I am. And as I was just coming to pass this man, this guy just got right down on his knees in front of him, and he folded his hands, and he sat back, and he looked him right in the eye, and he introduced himself, and he shook hands with him, and he started talking to him. I thought, you know, this kid has the potential of doing a greater good here, something way beyond what's the money I got in my pocket. He showed humility, and he got down level with him. And I could tell by the look on the old man's face that was sitting there that he was kind of delighted. And the young man, when I looked at him, he just looked, I guess the word's peaceful. He looked down and started talking to this guy, and I kept on walking, so I don't really know what all the discussion was. But I felt like there was a difference in humility between me and this young man. And I believe each of you didn't have to come tonight, that you made a choice. And I believe that you're here because you don't want to be mediocre. You don't want to be run-of-the-mill. And when we talk about humility, we'd love to have a humility that just is born of God, that just shines with His light. Yeah, I saw a reason to start to question myself. I'm going to turn over to Proverbs, the 16th chapter. I'm going to read the first five verses. So chapter 16 of Proverbs, starting with verse 1. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit your works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. And let me jump over to verse 18 and read 18 through 20. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I'm going to turn over next to Timothy. Some of the discussion that Paul wrote to Timothy. The first one I'm going to turn to is 1 Timothy, the third chapter. I hope you're listening well and that you keep hearing that this difference, this about pride and about humility, it's something that's from God. The blessing of humility is something from God. And if we want a right path for our feet, it's before Him that we have to be. Adam said something about it this morning in relation to his topic. He said something about that our prayer life is very important. You know, I don't remember exactly what his words were. But I have to tell you that on my subject tonight, I believe that that's primary. Our relationship, our ability to get down and humble ourselves in prayer, I think is most important in this topic. But let me go to 1 Timothy, the third chapter. I'm going to read the sixth verse. Actually, I'm going to start with the first verse and read through the sixth verse. It says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And I think of being a bishop, or as I've tried to study out exactly what it's talking about when it, you know, talks about a bishop, it's talking, I think, more similar to what we would identify as a pastor. And so you need these qualities. I remember a discussion I had when I was young. I was once. And I think actually it was with Jay. He and I had walked over to my granddad's house, my granddad Case, and we were walking back to the temple lot. And the part of the discussion I was thinking about was kind of the trap. We were kind of talking about the fact that you can, you know, you start praying and you start working on the qualities that you have. And you try to do better. And you try to treat people right. And you really do begin to grow. and you do better and better, and you're drawn to pray more, and you're drawn to study, and next thing you know, you're doing really good. Maybe better than anybody else. Maybe better than anybody ever has been. And I'm saying that to, and I'm exaggerating to make the point that when we begin to do better, we need to take care that we are forewarned, that we are ready to battle off pride. That we not begin to think that we are better than our brothers. It's kind of circular. You start to do better, and then suddenly you find that somewhere along the line, you begin to be filled with pride, and it takes you right down. It is. I read it in my first reading. If you're not stripped of pride, you are not prepared to meet God. That's serious. Second Timothy. First chapter. And I'm going to start with the sixth verse. This is kind of, again, in relation to the ministry, actually. He's talking to Timothy about it. And starting verse 6 of the first chapter of 2 Timothy, it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ, which given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." I think it's important to remember, as ministry, that we not be as a novice, that we be wise, that we be close to God, that we not take our ministry as a saying that we are better than others, and that and begin to be lifted up in pride. And now I'm going to turn back over again in Timothy to 1 Timothy, the first chapter. And I'm going to read verse 5 through 7. "Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm." That sounds like an unrelated thing sometimes when I read those words, that, well, then that guy must not have known anything from the beginning, but it's remembering that all that you have and all that you are was provided, was given you by God. I'm going to turn over to Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter, I'm going to start reading with verse 21. And it's going to start a little bit like you're starting in the middle of a chapter, but that is what I'm doing. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I have read this scripture through this chapter many times because I like to be forewarned. I like to see things coming in myself. I think it's important. You know, it says we're supposed to watch ourselves at all times, that we enter not into temptation. And this actually describes the process as we withdraw from God. And as we become conceited, as we become vain and profess ourselves to be wise, as we begin to be filled with pride and turn away from God and His light. I didn't look it up. In the Book of Mormon, there is a short phrase that I think is one of the most horrible. It's just a terrifying phrase. It says something about, and they began to boast in their own strength, and He left them in their own strength. That's horrible. That just makes me feel cold, dark, lonely. Just to hear those words. Let me turn over. What have I read so far? I'm going to turn over to Messiah. And I've already quoted a little bit from here, but I didn't read it. Messiah, the second chapter. I'm going to start reading on page 222 in my book, and it's verse 32. I'm going to read through to verse 37. It says, "For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, for both food and raiment, for gold and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind? And behold, even at this time, ye have been calling on his name and begging for a remission of your sins. And hath he suffered that ye have begged in vain? Nay, he hath poured out his Spirit upon you, and hath caused that your heart should be filled with joy, and hath caused that your mouths should be stopped, that ye could not find utterance, so exceeding great was your joy. And now, if God, who hath created you, on whom ye are dependent for your lives, and for all that ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask, that is right, in faith believing that ye shall receive, O then, how had ye ought to impart of the substance that ye have one to another? And if ye judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perish not, and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation for withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth? I think it always struck me that it doesn't just say that God gave you everything that you have. It says he also gave you everything that you are. If you understand that, it has to strip you of pride. You have to realize that if you seem to be doing better, it's all about God's grace. It's all about his blessing. And for you, it's about gratitude, about living in thanksgiving daily and understanding how great God is. And going back to what I read, that third reading in Timothy, it was 1 Timothy, the first chapter. Charity, that word that means the pure love of God out of a pure heart. That's what we have to have. And that is the opposite of pride. I also think of all that he's given us, and I have to include another reference. It's in Romans, the 5th chapter. It's just a real quick one. Well, I was going to read more, but let me just read one verse. I'll read verse 8 of this 5th chapter of Romans. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That says so much. And it doesn't give us any reason to be prideful. See this? This is the new Jerry International version of this verse. It says, "Why you didn't deserve it, he died for you." For when we were yet without strength, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he has given us everything. He even gave his life for us. First Chronicles. And I'm going to read out of the 16th chapter, starting with verse 7. Is that right? Yeah, I think I will go ahead. That'll be more brief also. Starting with verse 7 in chapter 16 of Chronicles. And I read this as an example. Before I do, I think I am going to say something else. Recently, I saw a story, a movie, and the name of it was The War Room. Has anybody seen this? Jeremiah has seen it. What do you think of in relation to a war room? Well, the ones I've seen on TV, they have big glass panels, and they have teams of experts, military experts, and they sit around in conference, and they watch what's going on with the battles, and they make new decisions, and they make strategy, and they try to win the war by making good decisions and by getting up-to-date information and making the best decisions they can. This is not about that, sort of. This lady in the story is obviously just a good example. And this young woman who's having trouble in her marriage is trying to get counsel from her just because she seems to be such a good little old lady. And she has a lot of experience, and so she keeps asking. She said, finally she said, there's something you got to see. And she took her in her house upstairs to a closet that she had taken everything out of that closet. All the clothes, all the boxes, all the storage, completely emptied that closet. And on the walls, well, kind of like, in the kids' little classroom back here, there's the pictures of the people that the kids are praying for back there. She has pictures taped and tacked up on her wall in that closet. She has lists of things. She has yarn, connecting different things, where she has been doing that same thing. She calls it her war room. And when she goes in there, she would get down on her knees and she would close the door and pray. Pray for guidance. Pray for everything she needs. Pray for her friend that's asking for advice. And she reached humility here, talking to this lady and saying, "The advice I give is because I'm praying for you. I'm asking God's wisdom to begin to anoint you and to anoint me, that I might be a help." And she said, "I don't think I can do this. You're such a wonderful lady, you can do this, but I'm not." And she said, "No. I didn't really know this. It took years of suffering. It took years of doing the wrong thing. Years of being distant from God. It took trouble in my marriage. Trouble with my kids. Trouble with my decisions. Till I finally discovered that the answers are all from God. The answers are all from God. Everything that we have, everything that we are, and when we impart of our substance, as it said here, it's not even yours. It all belongs to Him. We have no reason for pride. Recently, I was walking. I like to walk. I tend to walk down Siesta and take the little jog down here and go to 32nd Street up north to, sometimes I go clear up to Beardsley. That day I did go clear up to Beardsley. And then I headed down Beardsley and was walking by the wash, and I thought, I've never taken the wash. So I started walking down the wash, and as I came back down the wash, there was a young man living under the bridge there. I didn't talk to him. I didn't say anything. I feel like I have a ways to go. I didn't offer to help. I don't know if he was safe to talk to. I don't know. But I do believe that somehow those answers are found in that war room. That war room where we realize that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil in high places. And so we get down on our knees and we begin to make war with God against the real enemy, the devil, the enemy of our souls. And you know, the devil, when he sees a conflict between us, I think sometimes we feel like when we're in conflict, we have to win that conflict or the devil gets his way. You know, he's not wanting one of you to lose and for one of you to win. That's not his goal. The devil wants every one of you to lose. That's his whole point. We have to realize that sometimes when we have enemies, they're actually not our enemy. The devil's been successful in driving a wedge and putting us against each other. And it's for the purpose of destroying us both. And in our mind, the one way we know who's right and who's wrong is because, well, it's obvious, I'm right. You know, the other person thinks so too. They think that they're right. The ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. I just read it to you out of the 16th chapter of Proverbs. The ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. So remember who the real enemy of your soul is. And that you cannot make war on that enemy. That warfare is done with your Heavenly Father. You go to Him. He's the one that causes nations to rise and fall. He's the one that ends up putting leaders in place. He's the one who gives you all that you have and all that you are. And it all still belongs to Him. I'd like to encourage you, you know, Adam said it this morning, that your prayer life has everything to do with trying to turn your life around. Everything. I do this all the time and I think it's right. When I'm driving, I pray. When I wake up in the morning, that's like the first thing I do. But you know, I get busy right away. And I would like to encourage you not to only take it in any kind of a casual way, but in some way you make your war room a place and a time that is dedicated directly to God, with God, And I think that you will find that your love for him, your gratitude for all that he's given, all these things will grow. And the pride will fall. I was touched a few years ago with a realization that I really wasn't very good at praising God. Like when you consider charity, you know, I've heard that the sermon before where to get charity, you know, that it lists out all those attributes about suffering long and is not puffed up. And what you do is you take those one at a time and you work on them till you're good at all of them and you get them all added up to charity. And that's not what it says. It says, pray with all the energy of heart for this love that he hath bestowed on all who are his true followers. We need the war room. We need our time with God. And we need to really focus. It changes your life. It changes your church. It changes everything. Everything. I had a birthday a couple days ago. And since then, my memory's not as good. I've always had trouble. Joe Yates used to say, my memory's what I use to forget. Let's spend our time individually with God that we might be better brothers and sisters. We have a road to walk ahead of us that in my eye, I don't see it getting better. The way keeps getting rougher. And we need God. He is our sure-footedness. He is our guide. I hope that, you know, Jay and I are leaving for Honduras tomorrow, and I hope that you'll pray for us on our trip. I know that you pray for all the missionaries when they go. I hope that you'll continue doing it and that you'll make it part of your concerns in your war room. Oh, I remember I was telling you about not feeling like I was very good at worshiping God. And so I decided, you know, we had a discussion one night in prayer meeting about it. Years ago when we used to work at, when we used to meet out at our house. And so I started trying to think, what could I do? And other people said too, well, you know, we're going to come together in a couple of weeks and we're going to try to think of how to be more worshipful, more grateful, give God better, greater glory. And so we were going to come together that night, and I decided I wanted to sing a song. And I got out my guitar and I started working on this song. It was just a real short song, but it was very grateful to God. It was just a song of praise. And I started working on it, and while I was playing, another voice started singing with me. And it wasn't in unison, it was in harmony. And I stopped because I didn't recognize it. I went to see what the girls were up to. They were just like 2 and 4 at the time, really little. I went to see what Cindy was up to. I couldn't find a radio on. I couldn't figure out what it was. And so I went back and I sat down with my guitar. I started singing the same song again. And it just struck right up. Started singing with me. It was beautiful. And I stopped, and I went looking again. I did it about like three times, and finally I just decided, you know, as long as I practice, as long as I prepare, this is going to be there. And it was. As long as I practiced, this other voice sang along. And I just think it's another one of those lessons that in the end, we try to make good decisions, but what we're doing is we're planting the seeds. The increase, the result, the outcome is completely from God. It's beyond our capability. It's supernatural. I hope that, I hope that you took time to write down some of the scriptures and that you study and consider and you spend time in prayer. I just can't wait to be in on it with you. Pray for me and I'll pray for you.